school time. Children, this is it. You're off like a dirty shirt. Have fun. We'll see you tomorrow. We do believe in tithe here in this house. We believe very strongly that the word is clear on tithing and offerings also. So if you are if you're looking to tithe, we've got some boxes in the back, and you can do it that way. We do it online now because that's what people are doing nowadays. There's even texting. But online, BethMessiah.us. Now, I want to say there are lots of things that we could talk about today. How many of you know about scuba diving? We won't talk about that. There's a lot. There really is a lot. And Monday, for example, is the one-year anniversary of Hamas doing what they did in Israel. And there are all kinds of increased tensions and escalations, challenges, because of Monday coming, the one-year anniversary. In fact, we know in the last week, anybody who's been following the news at all, you know, Iran sent well over 180, whatever it was, ballistic missiles to Israel. And thankfully that they were stopped. Debris fell, but, you know, thank you, Lord, there was tremendous loss of lives. All these countries all in one place. Israel invaded Hezbollah to the north in Lebanon. And that also was significant. They've had some intel. What's fascinating about this is how hard it is to hear in mainstream news what I'm going to say. But there was intel that said that Hezbollah was preparing to do what Hamas did in the south. Hezbollah was going to do from the north on Monday, the one-year anniversary. They were going to come out from Lebanon and do the same thing in northern Israel. So Israel, amongst other reasons too, they got tired of Hezbollah's regular rocket attacks. So they went and they attacked preemptively, and they've been, of course, doing what they do with the pagers and all over. And it's just a mess over there. It's the epicenter of spiritual warfare showing up in a very physical way. Our prayers here at Beth Messiah are very much for the peace in Israel. The word says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It doesn't say pray against anybody other than the enemies of Israel would be stopped. It doesn't say, we hate them all. Pray for them to come to know the Lord like we know the Lord. And we pray for the Arabs in the land who are struggling, and we're praying for the Jews in the land. But it's God comes through the return to Israel. And we believe very strongly in that. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that Israel would call on the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. We sang it today. When Israel calls in the name of the Lord, we believe that ushers in. That's the last step before his return. We're looking for that day. We're longing for that day. So please do keep Israel in your prayers. And this Monday is a crazy time. To give you a sense of it, there's all kinds of concern here from our local law enforcement and from Homeland Security and FBI that we're staying out of our building on Monday. They're telling synagogues not to open the doors, stay home, because it's so pray for us in our own community for peace here. And, you know, we get very used to it. If you go to churches dominantly and you don't step into Messianic congregations very much, you should know our concern with security is much more critical than what typically churches have to deal with in security. And Monday at the one-year anniversary, so as you're praying for Jerusalem, do pray on that Monday for us too, in our whole area, that there would be peace where we live. Yes? Now, the other thing I want to tell you about is a little bit about our friend, Alan Ross. I'm sorry? Oh, no, we had, yeah, sorry, Peter. Little elders meeting right there. Thank you, Peter. So I want to tell you about Alan Ross. And some of you, how many of you have never seen Alan before? Listen here, you don't know anything about Alan other than maybe what I've said. So I'm going to say about half of the room. Gee, that's pretty good. I hope you don't have dinner plans. I'm kidding. You can't help it. You know, if you've ever talked to him, you can't help but like him. He's such a nice man. I said this is the onset for the service. He is a friend. He is a good friend of mine, of my family. My dad has his story of how he met him, and he really believes it was a God thing. I think, Alan, you may say the same thing, how you met and connected with my dad and that relationship that brought you here. It's a wonderful relationship. Now, what's different about Alan, we do like to receive an offering for him before he speaks. And the reason is, when he's done speaking, he'll go into a time of prayer, and he'll pray for different people in the room, and we don't quite know when it's going to end. So because of that, if you would, take out your checkbooks, your cash. You can do it online, and you know, you can do it through BethMessiah.us and just put something in there. We give it all to Alan. We don't keep any of it. We don't skim off the top. We give it all to him. He doesn't charge us for his airfare. He doesn't charge us for his expenses to come and to do these things with us. He does it through relationships. So when we bless him, we want to bless him. And here's one way of saying it. For those of you Bethites who were here some months ago, and I spoke on generosity, one of our values, and I said, you know, we're living in an age where people like to open their wallet like it hasn't been greased for a while. You know, but we are to whom much is given, much is expected. So we got, let's give. Amen? And we'll send him with blessing as he's here to bless us. You know, we can do that. We can bless him and while he's blessing us at the same time. So, ready, you two? Let me just say a prayer. Lord, I just do thank you for the chance to seek you for this time with Alan. And we look to give this money as blessing. We recognize in your word that you call us to do this. We respond, Lord. We say, yes, we will. We will bless and receive prophet's honor. And Lord, in turn, we ask that he's honored by us. Thank you for this. Thank you for the resources to do this. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Come on up, you two. Kylie and David are intrepid basket passers. And as they're going through this, I'll just say a little bit. Alan and his wife, Margot, have a daughter, Sarah, and they are just the nicest couple. They're just a grand couple. And I've been in their congregation in Glasgow, Scotland. And they bought a building. It's a very cool building. In some ways, it reminds me of our building. It's older, and it certainly has a different shape. But from the Milwaukee language, this building is about as close as we'd get to matching the building that his congregation's at in Glasgow. The thing that stands out to me most of Alan is his integrity as a believer. It's clear that he is passionate for the Lord. It's clear that he loves the Lord. He's a man of integrity to his social relationships, but it's all based on his integrity in the Word. And it's very easy and very evident to see these things that come from his life. And I've been very blessed to be a part of it. And those of you, again, who have been here some time, you've seen this. I think you may have a sense of who he is already. We receive him as a brother. We receive him as a prophet. We receive him as a friend. So, Alan, please do come up and share.
Take a long as you want. 6 hours. Good morning, everybody. This is a new building. Am I coming through okay? Ground control to Major Tom. Your engine's dead or something wrong? Yep, we're live and dangerous. Well, not so dangerous. Good morning, Beth Messiah. Yeah, and you've quite a lot of new faces in the congregation. Definitely a new building, holding the congregation, hosting the congregation. It's so good to be here and be part of what the Lord's doing in, well, unprecedented times. I was here last year just the day after the Hamas invasion of Israel. So much going on in the Middle East now, and it's hard to follow so many of the threads, the news threads that are coming forth. And beyond that, of course, this is a massive year in American politics, a presidential election coming up, a highly emotive subject. It causes great arguments amongst Christians in the US and non-Christians in the US. So I'm not going to tell you to vote for anybody this morning, except the Beatles as the number one pop group of all time. I may register that vote, but seriously, wow, I've come to this fellowship now since around 2003, and we've done real life together. 2003, well, it was just the advent of 9/11 and the consequences of 9/11. It seems like since we went into the new millennium, our lives keep changing, the world keeps changing, our personal histories keep changing, our families contract, and then they expand, And we have people who share common experiences, but walking with our amazing God. Thank you for the revelation of the Messiah that indeed is a glue that holds Beth Messiah together. It was really through Rabbi Frank and Paul Burby in Nashua, New Hampshire, that I became aware of Messianic Judaism. Rabbi Jim sent me a box of books by Dan Juster and his peers during lockdown. I even have a Beth Messiah mug in my kitchen. And coffee tastes better in Beth Messiah mugs. The word he brews takes on a new meaning because I love a good brew from my Beth Messiah mug. But here we are, continuing our journey together as believers, as followers of the Messiah, a unique perspective on the Messiah, some people coming at it from a place of Judaism, historical Judaism, and then a moment of enlightenment about who the Messiah really is, others coming at it from a Gentile perspective, then starting to understand what the Messiah was all about, what God's ancient people were all about, looking at that intransigent history, that tells the world so much about our covenant-making God. Thank you for being here. I'm just looking around the congregation and smiling as I see your happy faces. And as we move into a brief teaching this morning, as much as we're living in very dark times, I believe that we're going to look at what it means in our own journey to progress prophetically. I'm not necessarily referring to the impact of personal prophecy. That's only the thin end of the wedge. I'm talking about how the Lord has spoken, shaped and formed our inner man over the decades. In other words, you and I host in our spirits a measurable work of grace. We can testify about the goodness of God and highly specific activities of God over our journey as believers. In July this year, I was 41 years a saved man. You can put your own number in there. It's a personal issue between you and the Lord, but we have a history with the Lord. We have a past in the Lord. And as we navigate our way through this brief message, and I always say brief message to give the congregation false hope. Going to preach for ages and ages and ages. We're going to have a much better sense of where we're at in our inner journey, the growth of our inner man over the years. I believe fundamentally it's the circumstances of our lives where we grow prophetically. It seems like when life is intense in our spirits, we're dealing with the whole gamut of human emotion, joy, sorrow, stress, shock, excitement, events that indeed are shaping and forming our lives for the better, that there's great prophetic growth in you and I. Our inner man, our spirits don't grow in the sense of abstract knowledge, making our inner man a better place to be. No, in reality, the Messiah is growing us up. We're growing up into all things in the Messiah. And yes, we have spiritual disciplines. In fact, in this era of the contemplative life, There are gazillions of books on our bookshelves, in Christian shops or online, that introduce many different spiritual disciplines designed to grow you and I up in Christ Jesus. I believe we find the spiritual disciplines we require in any given season of our journey. But essentially, what's of paramount importance, what is of paramount importance in our lives as we go into this ongoing process of progressing prophetically, is truth. Truth, not a truth, but the truth. And as we let that word hang in the air this morning in this amazing messianic synagogue, truth is a person. It's not a body of information. The Bible, well, at one level, it's a body of information. It's a book written by God, about God, for people. As a simple Scotsman, I read the Bible, and what impacts me more than anything else is how much God wants to help people. So people say, Alan, you've studied theology, you've preached, you've done this, that, and the other. You must know lots of things about the Bible. I just smile sweetly and say, yeah, it tells me that God wants to help people. But truth, well, becomes something very powerful in the person of Jesus. So rather than looking for a selection of truth to help us in our present circumstances, we cut to the chase and go to a person, Jesus. John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. That has direct consequences for you and I. That has incredible consequences for you and I, because there's always outcomes of growth. There's always outcomes of progress. And beware of seasons in your life as a believer where you think, now I'm really getting somewhere. That generally is a deception, I find. In fact, it's a prelude to most of us falling flat on our faces. We think we're going somewhere because we feel inspired and feel good. But outcomes, and Jesus speaks about this in John 8, 32, again in the context of truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. A journey that measures the progress we're making prophetically is a journey of freedom. I've known some of you here a long time. Rabbi Frank and his dear wife Pat, Rabbi Jim and his wife Leah have known a lot of my backstories, as I've known a lot of their backstories. At times, life as a Christian is tough. Life in ministry can be very challenging. But when the Lord brings truth, the person of truth, into our stuff, then we know the truth, and the truth makes you and I free. In the world we live in, truth means many things. In the scientific world, whether it's natural science or social science, truth is considered the advent of verifiable facts. And I don't have an argument with that or against that. But truth for you and I means essentially a person. And more than that, revelation. not as an ethereal experience, not as something kind of mystical, but as Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, "But when he," meaning the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." You can see where I'm coming from right now, because truth is coming to find you and I. If you're in a dark season presently and you don't know what to do, there's natural events in your life that, well, you really don't know the way forward. If there's sorrow in your life, and my family are in a season of grieving, because from last November all the way through to a few weeks ago, there's been family member after family member pass away. Some very young. Indeed, a 10-year-old family member died suddenly around 5 or 6 weeks ago. Well, when real life brings suffering to us, regardless of the context, we can feel abandoned by God, even to a sense overlooked by God. But the reality of our kingdom life this morning, the reality of progressing prophetically in the kingdom of heaven is simply this. Truth is looking for you and I. Truth is in a present. Truth is in a future. It's a great prayer, regardless of what's going on in our life. If we're on a mountaintop or in a valley or somewhere in between, Lord, I pray for truth. I pray for the revelatory truth to come into my life and illuminate my inner man, that I might know you better. Fundamentally, we don't really have any problems, because the one who gave us all the problems, self, was crucified with Christ, was crucified with the Messiah. Now, if your old self is anything like my old self, he keeps trying to make a comeback. In fact, my old self has made more comebacks than Frank Sinatra. But he's a dead man trying to walk again. Sometimes we just need to tell old self, you're dead. What part of you're dead do you not understand? In Christ Jesus, we are governed by the truth, set free by the truth, and being constantly guided into all the truth. Regardless of where you and I are at this morning, we can handle what's going on in our lives. We can handle what's going on in our lives, even if we feel we're falling apart on the inside this morning. We can handle it, because there's powerful batteries in our spirit. Very powerful batteries, better than Duracell. We have our own inbuilt power pack established in our spirits. And ultimately, everything that's going on in our lives today, circumstantially, and taking it away from you and I into a broader context of the USA and into global affairs like the Middle East, like the invasion of Ukraine. Well, we look to the Lord for growth in international affairs, and we look to the Lord for growth in our relationship with him. The power of a born-again spirit. In fact, truth be told, the power of the human spirit, and I'm going to say something that might sound a little bit controversial, even men and women that don't know the Lord, whether you're regenerated or not, God created the human spirit in his own image, and he built into that phenomenal entity, a capacity that every human spirit is coded for language. Coded for language. Think about it practically. That's how we came to faith. The part of our dead human spirit, dead in our transgressions and sins, had a God section, sleeping nicely, either being religious with us or being heathenistic with us, maybe a little bit of both. Suddenly the Holy Spirit, over a number of years, weeks, months, days, started to breathe on that part of our spirits. It was coded for divine language and brought us to salvation. Brought us to salvation. Other areas were coded for language. I find it's identifying a spouse, recognizing the person in the spirit, beyond hormones. I know you don't have hormones in this church. It's only in Scotland. But that part of a spirit that said, I have to marry her. That's my wife-to-be. Or that's my husband-to-be. All of that's put in place by God. We're coded for language to understand the Word of God at a revelatory level and also an intellectual level, because the spirits renew the processes of our minds. I'm saying all of that, and I hope I'm not bamboozling you with all this irrelevant information. I'm saying all that because you and I are in a stronger place than we realise. God knows how to relate to you and I. And in reality, our relationship with him only comes out of his relationship with us. He loved us whilst we were still sinners. He loves us today with a covenant love. Do you notice how to relate to you and I in highly specific ways? I think sometimes for us, doing real life every day, trying to understand how we relate to the Lord is counterintuitive. If I pray more, read the Word more, fellowship more, give to good works more, well, maybe that will bring me closer to God. And over the years, we do all of that, and it's not wrong. We're only developing. We're entering into growth pains in our relationship with the Lord. This morning, we're talking about truth as a person, freedom that person brings in their life, and the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, working in tandem with the person, the truth, the Messiah, bringing into our consciousness revelation. This morning, I believe the Lord wants to quicken very quickly a perspective of how that should look over our entire lifespan. Pre-Jesus, and since we've walked with the Lord, the older you get, the bigger your history becomes. And you know what? All of us have ugly chapters in our history. There's chapters in my history I could read out loud this morning. You would be embarrassed on my behalf if you found out how I've behaved in some very ugly chapters I've navigated in the Christian life. But the Lord does not want us to be bound up in condemnation and guilt. There is now no condemnation for those who are in the Messiah. Very quickly, we're going to look at revelation that will be like an arc from the moment of our birth to where we're at today, and as the years continue, will extend into a future. Retrospective revelation is so important because guilt and shame is such a huge part of the human condition. a massive part of the human condition. And if we feel we have performed badly or behaved badly or we didn't do as much as we could have done in different scenarios and we wrestle with much of that, the Lord gives us retrospective revelation in terms of looking at difficult chapters and incredibly developmental chapters of our life through his eyes as the truth. I believe for most of us who wrestle with guilt and shame issues, the truth the Lord brings to us is affirming, absolutely affirming truth and releasing truth. In his sovereignty and in his omniscience, he knew all the variables that were going on in those times we look back on and say, oh my. And we didn't. He did. We didn't. And the affirming truth, the releasing truth he brings to you and I will emphasize that. And of course, as we're designed to grow in relationship with the Lord, our fellowship with the Lord and our fellowship with one another. If my relationship with the Lord grows, so my friendships with my closest Christian friends grows. My love for the body of Christ grows. And we can look back and see where the Lord has given us relationship bridges to go over in terms of drawing closer to him, things we let go of, things we embrace, and then relationship bridges going deeper into the lives of some saints we know, and the beginning of building a relationship bridge into new saints that we encounter. Over my years as a pastor, I've been in Assemblies of God pastor now for 11 years. Before that, I was a Baptist pastoral leader for a long, long time. And so many Christians have said, I would like better quality friends. This is usually the language of a young Christian, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old in the Lord. The first flush of Christian youth has disappeared. The pink cloud experience has gone. And they're not happy with some of the things that the Christian friends are carrying and kind of imposing on them. Now, I have a simple answer. I say, well, pray that God really grows you in the character of Christ. Then your friendships will start changing. As you change, you will attract new friends into your life, both in the household of faith and outside of that in the world system. All of our friendships are a reflection of who we are. All of our friendships are in place today because people that we are close to identify we carry similar values and behavioural traits that they do. Now, before I knew Jesus, I was an alcoholic. I drank for Scotland in the Olympics. I won lots of gold medals at the expense of my liver. Can you imagine who my friends were before I came to know the Lord when I was an alcoholic? They weren't Franciscan monks, let me assure you of that one. They were alcoholics just like me because like always attracts like. Didn't plan to say that. Moving on. Part of our progress, part of this arc I've spoken about in terms of the sovereignty of God intervening in our lives, intervening as seasons and chapters as we encounter relational shifts beyond ourselves. In other words, we can't control any of it. There's all these shifts going on in our lives and we're saying, Lord, stop the world. I want to get off. We see those shifts in our relationship with God and ourselves. That's important. We see the shifts in our relationship with ourselves. That's a vital relationship. The best time and place we can ever get to in our own relationship with us, ourselves personally, is an inner declaration. I refuse to kid myself on any longer. I'm going to deal with this. That's the truth setting you free. You may have to set some other people free in the process. You can say to them nicely, what part of goodbye do you not understand? Christian life is not for wimps. The Christian life is not for sissies. No pain, no gain. And praise God, we've persevered through the pain and we have the testimony of gain to confirm that our journey is an authentic journey under the governance of the kingdom of heaven. I believe for most of us, our greatest spiritual reality checks come into our lives. Something very simple, simple but profound, not complicated, simple but profound. As I've studied now the new creation in Christ Jesus and the role of the human spirit in humanity, in sinful humanity, religious humanity, and regenerated humanity. Now look now at human beings. I see human beings very differently. I see myself very differently. We're not human beings on a spiritual journey. And you could be forgiven for thinking that because of the title I chose this morning, Progressing Prophetically, Growth of Our Inner Man. In essence, we're spiritual beings on a human journey. As we grow and develop spiritually, there's a human response that comes forward from our personalities. When the Lord imparts truth to our spirits, there's a good chance our souls will veto it and say, no, 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 that could never be. That's our humanity getting in the way of our spirituality. Incredibly enough, the Lord keeps repeating a matter to our spirits where our souls start to think differently. There's a re-education of our minds, a divine confrontation or two along the way. Then our souls come into agreement. Our souls are full of religious barriers to spiritual growth. You could go to many churches in the USA today and they would consider the new birth an anachronism, something that is just part of a separatist community on the edges of our modern society. When people from those fellowships encounter the risen Lord, well, that confrontation changes the way they think. I could speak about believers' baptism. I could speak about baptism of the Spirit. I could speak of the ministry of apostles and prophets. In Christian communities and in Christian believers all over the nation, there would be lots of inbuilt resistant barriers. But we can smile at our humanity. We can smile at times we have resisted in our soul, but we've known the moments of breakthrough in our spirits. Most of the time in our journey, we are processing, but looking forward to moments of truth when there's breakthrough and when there is release. Our souls in its religious pride and arrogance thinks it can bring this about. But in reality, it's a work of grace, a work of grace from A to Z. I hope this makes sense this morning. I'm not confusing anybody. All good? Excellent. It doesn't sound like I'm reading from a Saudi Arabian flight aircraft flight manual. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right, I'm going to wrap this message up in 5 Wisconsin minutes, which is about 4 Scottish hours. So make yourself comfortable indeed. Cancel all plans for this afternoon. We're locking the doors. There's no escape. I find most people, when everything's said and done and everything's stripped away from the surface of our lives, carry 5 significant longings. This is proof positive our spirits are speaking to us. Our spirits are working with our personalities, and longing is beyond language, but we have to then find a language. Perhaps in a relationship with the truth, the biggest challenge we face is constructing and composing accurate language in our consciousness, not just a kind of lukewarm religious language. Here's 5 quick longings. Some of you are longing for me to stop preaching. I know, I get it. But here's 5 quick longings which can constitute something of a spiritual reality check. If you get all 5, you're alive and kicking in Christ Jesus. If not, what you're lacking is running to catch up with you. So it's all good. It's not a pass-fail scenario. It's pass, pass, and pass. We long for significance. It's a deep inner longing for significance. We were not created in Christ Jesus to be poor and miserly. We have a deep longing to love and to be loved. You can't have one without the other. No love out, no love in. No love in, no love out. Now, I know a very small constituency of people in Glasgow. No love in, no love out. No friendship in, no friendship out. And you know what? They have all the charm of junkyard dogs when you go and visit them. This longing to be, to love and to be loved, this one's the heart of Christian discipleship. A longing for deep and fundamental change. A heart cry that says, I want to change. Yes, I want to be like Christ Jesus. Yes, I want these shifts that move my life forward. A longing for a life that works. Longing for a faith that works. The two go together. There's cycles where it seems our life is moving more into dysfunction than function. And the cycles, it seems like our faith is moving more into dysfunction than function. And that's hard, but it's a prelude. It's a prelude to entering into a cycle of suffering, maybe darkness, that gets us to a place of reset where our life is working again, our faith is working again. And finally, a longing to connect in a profound way with the Lord and others. This is beyond words. It's a deep place in our spirits. I believe our spirits are way deeper than the Atlantic Ocean. I believe there's a depth and a breadth of us in our spirits that is beyond description. Because in our spirits right now, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, but we're also in Beth Messiah this Saturday morning, connecting with the Lord in a profound way, and connecting with others in a profound way. As I finish this message, I encourage you to organize your relationship with the Lord, each other, your marriage, your family relationships, and vocation around those growth factors that I've mentioned, those five growth factors. And all you need for life and godliness will start to flow out of moving consciously in and out of those growth factors. We live in the reality of the Messiah. The Messiah in you, the Messiah in me, the hope of glory. The Messiah abiding within us that cannot fail. He cannot fail. We can, he can't. When we defer to ourselves, we do. When we defer to him, then here's another thought. When we defer to the Messiah within, because he cannot fail, nothing can overcome him. What does that look like in your life and my life? It means we cannot fail. Nothing can overcome us. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore you have, as you have received, Christ Jesus, the Lord. So walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Those two verses act as an anchor to everything we've probed and developed in together as a community, as a congregation this morning. As we receive the Messiah, all we have to do is continue to walk in him. And out of that, we'll be rooted, built up, established. And we will, of course, be carrying the hallmarks of thanksgiving, overflowing with gratitude. Yeah, the Christian life is not for sissies. It's not an ethereal experience. It's not something in the very margins of our lives. It's the core of who we are, because the core of who we are is the person, Christ Jesus. I believe this has been an invitation for you and I to take the next step forward. It might be a baby step. It might be a considerable step into a future, into our destiny. Praise the Lord, we've all changed over the decades. We've known one another. We bear that testimony of this is not a fable. It's more real than reality itself. This truth we've heard this morning has defined you and I in a way that no learning institution could or any educator could attempt to take apart all the different components of our lives, put them back together and explain through the language of reason what's been going on within us all of the decades. The Ancient of Days is in the present, he's in the future. Our works are already completed in the Messiah. We rest, indeed, we enter into the rest that goes with the grace of God. No wonder we're in such a good place this morning, regardless of what's taking place in our lives. Now I'm going to move into a prophetic season. I do want to respect your time, so go. Rabbi Jim said go as long as I want, so I aim to go till about 12 o'clock tonight, midnight. The prophecies will be recorded by the leadership team at the back, the servants at the back of the